The Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you, as always, by Stickers or DIAF.com. You can get all the stickers that you want. The jury bundles. That comes with 8 classic stickers, 2 new stickers, 1 classic Ruin'em wine label, and 1 jury will buy you a drink token. Ruin'em labels are, of course, original from the manufacturer. When they are gone forever, and we are switching this up within the next few weeks now that I am back home. Go ahead and check it out. Stickers or DIAF. Remember to put diamond in the offer code section, and I will sign your sticker back. And bye. The Contender, the game of presidential debate. Go ahead and make sure that you have the game that everybody is talking about. Turns out politics never stopped after the election. So now this game is evergreen, and boy, are we happy about it. Make sure you go ahead and check back. The Hamilton mini expansion will be coming within the next few weeks. So get the base deck while you can. TheContender.us. But enough of talking about how we do the show. What do you say? We just do the damn thing! Everybody, welcome back to a live or recorded live. I guess they're all recorded live. This is the Jury Podcast. My name is Justin Robert Young. This is my podcast. We got a live crowd here today. I'm very, very excited. Absence, I guess, has made the heart grow fonder. I have not broadcasted a live jury episode in 2 weeks. Thank you for dealing with the recorded version. My interview with Harry Terjanian, my old friend, who has done so many amazing things since. Great interview. And, you know, it was a great opportunity for me to also get into a lot of the stuff that we've tangentially talked about, but not really. You know, because usually, you know, he lives in New York, and I've lived either, you know, in New York or in Florida or in San Francisco or in Oakland. And, like, every time you see him, a friend like that, it's usually a lot of catching up. How's your dad? How's your mom? How's your grandfather? How's your brother? Yada, yada, yada. You just got a lot of ground to cover. So there's a lot of his old stuff that, like, I've never really had a chance to get into a kind of proper conversation with him. So very excited to do that. Everybody go ahead and check out Harry Terjanian, and thanks to him for doing it on such short notice. But I got a lot to talk to you guys about. Because the reason why I had to do an episode like that was so I could be out on the road. So there's a couple things we want to get to. Okay, I'm going to let you guys know what we're going to talk about. We have 6 topics. I'm going to do the boring one first. All right, y'all ready for the boring one? Here's the boring one. I was out on the road for 2 weeks, which means that there's going to be no In Your House tour in March. Now, all right, that might not sound like it made a lot of sense, but I'm going to make it make sense. So here's what happened. I left, I think, on a Monday. Is that it? Yeah. Monday afternoon, and I fly, or no, Tuesday, I fly in to, Austin. I'm in Austin a couple days, then go down to San Antonio, live Night Attack show on Thursday. Stay in San Antonio for the weekend, do PAC South, do a bunch of wrestling stuff. Monday morning, fly to Miami. I'm doing this stuff that we'll be able to talk about as soon as they tell me that we're totally able to talk about it. In Miami for the next week. I finally get back on Friday. And let me just tell you this. It was a heartbreaking, heartbreaking moment because I got to get... I understand. The story I'm going to tell you guys... Sometimes I tell you guys stories that I believe are endearing between me... The host, and you, the listener. I'm going to talk about one of those things a little bit later in the show. Human folly, ample foibles, the flaws that we all have as human beings. This binds us together, me and you. And then there's some stories that I know are not going to endear me to you. And here's one of them. I had tickets for... the Run the Jewels concert. Run the Jewels, if you are not familiar with their work, is the combination of Killer Mike and LP. They are a rap duo. I enjoy their work very, very much. They have three albums, Run the Jewels 1, 2, and 3, that I highly recommend you bring into your life. They are playing at a great venue here in Oakland, California, the Fox Theater. Never been there. Within 24 hours of a flight, I don't have a flight back from South Florida to Oakland. And I am hoping that we can get wrapped on what we were doing on Friday in South Florida early enough so that I could catch a flight from either Miami or Fort Lauderdale, as it turned out, Fort Lauderdale, to San Francisco, get an Uber from San Francisco to my apartment, drop off my stuff, go right to the Fox Theater, check out this show. Ambitious. And it is while we are at the New World Symphony on South Beach. I know that this is an alienating story. I'm just going to go the full bore. That my flight gets booked, okay? It was the other people that were there with the shoot that were booking the flight. And as the schedule lands, as long as this Run the Jewels concert is not the first rap concert in history to start on time, I'll definitely miss the opening act, but there's a good likelihood that I will make it there for the rest of the Run the Jewels show. Ring-a-ding, ding-ding-dong. Great times, right? I'm happy as a clam. So we're doing the last day of shooting. It's at Hi Lai. For any South Florida natives, it's the Dania Casino, formerly Dania Hi Lai. The world's fastest game. Ba-ba-da. Rap. Awesome. On time. Get to the airport. Awesome. On time. Get to the United Club. Awesome. On time. I even use their little free printing service so I can print out the tickets. So I can just literally, with no stops in between, fly literally cross country, drop my crap off, run on over to the Run the Jewels show, flash my tickets, bada bing, bada boom, run them jewels fast. And then... friends, in this incredibly alienating story, I will let you know that there is a sour, sour ending. For lo, like Mighty Casey, who struck out, bringing no joy to Mudville, it was while I was in the United Club, tearing into my second free Miller Lite, when a thunderbolt of sadness broke from the heavens and planted into my phone Due to air traffic control, my flight direct from Fort Lauderdale to San Francisco was delayed 3 hours.
Oh.
And so I threw myself a little pity party. I just went right over to that Chili's 2 T-O-O. I got myself some boneless buffalo wings. I just looked at my line that eventually would bring me to the plane, and I just sat there and I drank and I ate buffalo tenders. And just watched Snapchats from my friend. And it was like, oh, I'm gonna eat my sadness. Run the Jewels, it'd be great. I wasn't able to see it. So there we go. Icarus looking MRF-er, flying too close to the sun on wings of wax. Let me also talk to you guys about where you are a failure, okay? And I mean some of you guys very personally and specifically. Not all of you, but some of you. I mentioned earlier in the show that I am selling these sticker packs, right? So these are sticker packs that I'm selling. Included in those sticker packs are Jury Buys You a Drink tokens. I used to sell two of them in each case. And then I realized how many times that I'm going to be around people that are going to cash these in on me, so I restricted them to one. And I figure, man, I'll tell you what, I mentioned it right here on this show. I'm going to get killed. I'm going to get killed in San Antonio. I'm going to get murdered. I had you guys write in with your over-unders. I saw some people were at $700 that I was going to have to cash in on. Well, let me go ahead and deliver to you guys the final receipts. Let me just go ahead and count them up. Okay. Yeah. And goose egg. Nothing. Absolutely zip zero zilch. Nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. One person threatened to do it. Hot beverages in the chat. While we had all decided that we were walking to another bar, Hot Beverages shows the token and says, hey, I have this. And I'm like, okay, well, you want to use it now or do you want to use it at the other bar? She goes, we'll use it at the other bar. And they never used it. I mean, listen. I'm not gonna beat this out of you guys. All right, I'm not in the business of forcing you guys to make me pay for your drinks. You gotta come up to me and hand me the token. That just means that there's a lot of pressure on everybody for South By. Means there's a lot of pressure on South By. A lot of pressure on Nerdtacular. And don't blame Hot Beverages. Hot Beverages was the only one who had the guts to even show her token. I know that there were other people out there that I was hanging out with that had tokens. I know that for a fact. Nobody even flashed one except for Hot Beverages. She's the only one who came close. So just so you know, these packs are still available. Go ahead and get them, stickers or DIAF.com. And I hope that I get a chance to buy some people drinks at some point. Otherwise, man, I'm laughing all the way to the bank, baby. This is like better than those subprime mortgages. You know, Michael Lewis is going to have to write a book about this swindle. This thing is gone to fiduciary levels, the likes of which nobody has ever seen. I have invented my own cryptocurrency for which has no reparation. There is no way to cash in on these coins. This is the brilliant. All right. What else? Okay, so here's the deal. I went on this whole thing about the In Your House story. I was on the road for 2 weeks, and I realized that I didn't like being on the road for 2 weeks. It takes me away from streaming. It takes me away from me Working with you guys, it takes away from me kind of having momentum on the streaming thing, especially now that we're 5 days a week. It's not like it was before where I was only really doing three or four podcasts. Now I realize that I am in the business of hanging out with you guys for an hour to an hour and a half every single weekday at a certain time. And if I take 2 weeks off of that, let alone 3 weeks, which is what I was thinking about doing in March, then I really can't do that. So the In Your House tour is now going to be in April. Also, I think I've determined that it's going to be in the Northeast. So I am putting out the APB, Northeastern homes that would like to host me. What do I define as Northeast? Well, I'll let you know. I will go as north as Boston, as west as Pittsburgh, and as south as D.C. So there we go. North, Boston, west of Pittsburgh, south of D.C. So just go ahead, and Canada is out for right now. Let me know. We'll do it over a weekend. But if you guys are interested, then go ahead and let me know. We'll do it over a weekend. We'll do a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like we did last time. So, you know, at this point, probably wind up doing, you know, maybe even on Saturday, we can weasel in like a 1-900 or something. I don't know. We will figure something out. Email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. If you live in the Northeast and you would like to host me in your house and have some strangers come in and we can all do a show together, it'll be a super fun time, go ahead and let me know, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Cool. Okay. Let's talk about one of the serious things. This is something I realized while I was on the road, okay? This is an evolution of me as a person. I used to seek chaos, if that makes sense. Especially with the Go game. The Go game was great. Because when I used to travel for a living, I could confine chaos into little buckets, right? Hey, controlled chaos from Monday through Wednesday. Fly out Monday, do a show Tuesday, fly back Wednesday. Chaos in the middle. Doesn't really matter what I do on those days. It just matters that I'm traveling. And everything that comes along with it. Waking up insanely early, being crazy tired, being in some sort of weird situation where you are, where you are, you know, just not expected to do a lot. Get to your location, have a couple drinks at the hotel bar, find a cigar place, smoke cigars next to the pool because you want to know what? You're randomly in Kansas City and you deserve it. Eat bad food because when else are you going to eat this local delicacy? Don't exercise. After all, you woke up so goddamn early and you got to wake up early tomorrow. There's just a lot that you can forgive yourself if your life is in chaos. Because you are not actively happening to life. Life is actively happening to you. And what I've realized over this last 2 weeks is that I was using that not only recently, but largely for my entire life, as an excuse to not make proactive decisions. How many times have you either heard or said, oh, well, sure, I would love to do blank if it came up. I would love to move to this other city if it came up. I would love to learn this kind of skill if it came up. But what are you really saying to yourself? You're really saying that I am floating down the river of life, and if by chance in some Huck Finn kind of sense an adventure happens to me, I'll be happy to deal with the adventure. And I don't think that that's necessarily an unhealthy way to look at life. But I do think it's not a proactive one. What I have found since I started doing this independent streaming thing is that I've had to work the muscle of being a little bit of my own disciplinarian, setting a schedule, making it more ambitious, going from streaming one day a week to 3 days a week to 5 days a week. Now taking on the Twitch thing and realizing that the more time that I can be on with you guys and interact, the better off it is for everybody. Starting to think about all the other shows that we do and realizing that if we string them along, we can continue to make something that was close to our network before when we were on Twitch. But that means proactive hard work. That means proactive discipline. And so for the last 2 weeks, I kind of got a taste of my old life. It's a lot of hotel rooms, a lot of hotel bars, a lot of local delicacies, a lot of excuses to order chicken wings. And oh my God, do I love chicken wings. I don't know what it is, man. I just always have loved chicken wings. They're so good. Especially when you get good chicken wings, plump ones, right? So here's the secret to a good chicken wing is you want a good plump chicken, right? You can go grilled. That's a smart way to do it. But you ultimately want to toss it in a spicy buffalo sauce that doesn't skimp on the butter. See, that's the key there. Is you want it creamy enough and thick enough to coat the wing, but not too creamy to dilute the spice of it. That's the key. When I'm on the road, I can indulge this. When I'm here, I can focus on happier, healthier patterns in my life. Eating better, not eating chicken wings every single day. Running every day, exercising. Going to the gym. Things that make me feel better. Things that make me fit into shirts that fit me a little bit better, right? Taking care of myself. There's a lot of benefits to the life that I have set up for myself. Why? Because I've chosen to set a life up for myself. And I haven't just allowed the chaos to dictate to me, to affect how I move. Because here's a dirty little secret. Life doesn't really move you all that much. You do. Whenever you find yourself saying, Matt, the universe is really shitting on me, you got to realize that this is kind of one of those Ouija board things. You're moving it. No, you're moving it. No, you're moving it. No, you're moving it. Sure, they might be imperceptible little finger tremors. But you're affecting your life one way or another. And either you can say consciously, I'll just let the river of existence take me where it goes and see what adventures we get into. Or you can make your schedule your own. You can take control of the elements of your life that are allowed to you. And I just realized with these last 2 weeks on the road how much that is important to me. Because I like this. I like this, me and you, talking live, justinryoung.tv, every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. I like this a lot. I may, this is what I'm realizing. I may like this more than chicken wings. And I didn't think that was possible. So I'm not saying this is universal. I'm saying this is for me. I enjoy your company, and I want to put effort into doing it. Because it took a lot of effort to be in chaos. Now, I want to put it into myself. Something that I do enjoy when I do like screwing around and being unhealthy. Crunchy says, I don't think I'll ever like anything more than pizza and alcohol. Well, let me tell you about the time I was eating pizza and drinking alcohol. It was during the Super Bowl, and I like it a lot. I thought it was really, really good. Super Bowl was fun. I lost $100. My buddy Anthony is somebody that I've made bets with since we were kids. Now we actually are adults and we have jobs, so we can bet each other over PayPal. I don't know if that's legal to admit, but we like to make friendly wagers with each other. And I was fleecing Anthony. I was calling him the cash machine. I was making jokes that I was going to fleece him for so much cash. I was going to have to record it on my taxes. I had him in $10, $15 bets. I was up $75 throughout the playoffs. Then he decides, he's like, all right, I'm putting $100 on the Pats in the AFC Championship. I'm like, cool. Okay. Pats romp. Absolutely whip ass. Super Bowl comes around. Patriots are given 3. I'm like, all right, let's do it again. Okay. Bets 3. Pats are laying 3. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to get into the blow-by-blow of the football. But let's just say, for those of you who are not sports ball literate, it was highly, highly, highly unlikely going into the final quarter of the game that the Patriots would win, let alone win by over 3 points. So much so that Anthony sent me the $100. Before the game was over. But, lo and behold, I guess my weekend was just not to be in terms of the good luck. Because I didn't make Run the Jewels, and boy howdy, did the Patriots come storming back and in overtime. The first overtime in Super Bowl history, no less. They won with a touchdown. Meaning, they won by 4 points. Meaning... Or 7 points, meaning that, yeah, they just, whatever. I lost $100. And the Super Bowl ads were weird. Let me just say that. Where is our economy? Where is our economy when all of the, when all of the commercials... We're like crappy wine, mobile games, and oil. what is happening? I mean, I guess mobile games just make the most amount of money, right? Because every other thing was a mobile game. And they're all just the most generic, crappy names, right? It's just like Bomb Police. They all sound like crappy direct-to-video action movies, right? World of Tanks. Tank Smash. Field of Swords. Conquest of People. That just sounds like slavery. I don't know. I don't really think there was a lot that I liked. You know, I think I A lot of people hated the Spud McKenzie coming back from the dead, the like Ghost of Christmas Past thing. I liked it. I thought it was good. Thought it was weird. Thought it was avant-garde. Thought it was funny. I don't know. I mean, I guess where are we at on Arnold Schwarzenegger also? Like, all the commercials now, ever since the Old Spice thing happened, all the commercials now are one of two things. Either a mobile game with an established celebrity. So it's like, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Do a thing. Remember me from the movies? Buy mobile explosion. Play for free now on iOS and Android. Or they're like very avant-garde weird things. Like you just don't see regular ads anymore. In fact, now you see avant-garde ads parodying regular ads. Like Taco Bell has these ads now that are all like morning coffee commercials. Where they have like, if you're waking up today, don't do it your way. And it's like, normally that would be like, get Folgers in your life and scream hooray. You know, it would be like that, right? Except the Taco Bell one is like, but your wife is cheating on you. And she's giving you a poo. She pooped on the floor. Go to Taco Bell. Like, it's all like really weird. Like your boss is, he scratched your car because he's a racist. We'll go to Taco Bell and have a taco today. Like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like unironic pitching is going to come back in a big way. Like, just a square jaw, like Don Draper kind of like. Well, because even Don Draper, they got John Hamm out here doing these like weird ads where he's like a total full of himself caricature, right? But I just feel like just literally, I would buy a product that was just a handsome man or woman just looking you in the face through the TV saying, I believe in this laundry detergent. Bing! Like, just that. No joke. Barely any charm. Make it look like they barely kind of want to be there. Just look right into the camera. Say, I'm a celebrity. I'm famous. I like product. Do you? I feel like that would be great. I'm going to save this other thing because I think we just got to – let me see what the time is here on this episode. Yeah, we got to get into the emails. I don't even know if I want to mention it. Maybe we'll save it. We'll save it for the Brett podcast, for the Brett and Justin work from home. So here's a little teaser for you. Disneyland has practiced Disney World. Me and Brett will fight about it. We've actually fought about it a million times, and he actually gets angry about it. So that'll be fun. Go ahead and check out Brett and Justin Work From Home. Follow me on SoundCloud, where we are still kind of in beta on that. But hopefully podcast coming soon. All right. Here's your emails. Justin Robert Young at gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. Again, Justin Robert Young at gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. Mike writes, I've never been a confident guy, and ever since a bad breakup a couple years ago, I find myself in a very awkward around women. I'm rarely able to take charge or start a connection without being horribly anxious. I've been trying very hard to pretend that I have a lot of self-confidence to deal with this. Whenever potential dates are slow to text back or bad at making plans, the old me used to convince myself that they hated me and I would move on. Now I'm trying very hard to continue to message people, try to make plans, and overall pretend all these girls like me until they explicitly say they don't. All right. Mike, I think that there are some good, you got some good fundamentals there. You know, fake it till you make it, good idea, right? I don't know exactly what your bedside manner is. But let's go ahead and assume that it is good. But I'm gonna couple your email with a big long one that I got here from Richard. Richard writes, Jerry, while listening to you speak about momentum, I hadn't really stopped to think about how true it is in my own life. I'm a 34-year-old IT manager, happily married with two teenage daughters, who up until July of last year weighed 415 pounds. My wife and I have been overweight for years, but it had progressed well beyond overweight and into the dangerously obese category for me. Last year, my wife finally got us motivated to make changes, and that's when things really started rolling. We changed our diets, and I've been monitoring our calories vigilantly, and it's paid off in spades. My wife has lost 75 pounds, and I'm currently at 113. At the same time, though, as amazing as the weight loss is, it's only part of the momentum life has given ever since starting this journey. I go to the gym 5 days a week, and I've really gotten into powerlifting. Hooray for new hobbies. We've gotten better at spending and saving money. We are both more outgoing than we've ever been, and we have more friends now because of it. I've even been pushing myself at work harder than ever before. And I know some of it can be attributed to the fact that we are just healthier overall, and that makes you feel better, but I firmly believe that once we got that ball rolling, it just becomes addictive to keep going, pushing it into new areas of your life like a bulldozer, until you feel like everything is moving forward in a healthy direction. Thanks for always being on point with your life advice and commentary. Longtime listener and a fan of your work. Richard, I want you to talk to Mike in that previous email. Because, Mike, what I want you to recognize is that you right now have made a commitment to being happier in your life. Even if it means understanding that projecting confidence is a positive thing. What I want you to do is now take that idea and go somewhere else that isn't about a relationship and apply that in your professional life. Try to get a promotion. Or try to get a new job. Do you like your living situation? Well, then try to go find another place. Try to figure out how you can make a budget that gets you something that you would like to have. Start to realize that every little bit of momentum can affect everything. And if you look at things myopically, you're not going to achieve your goals as fast. So that's what I would challenge you to do, Mike. Be like Richard and his wife. They realized that weight loss was a thing, so they started doing it. But then when they got self-confidence on that, they started fanning out and doing other things with that same amount of confidence. Because I'm going to guarantee you this. If you begin to do these other things, the relationship stuff is going to seem easier. Because now you're not just going to be a guy who's trying to do a thing with a relationship that either succeeds or fails. You're going to be a guy who's very self-confident that does a lot of things. And guess what that's going to help? People who want to be in a relationship with you. Morgan writes, I hope it's not too late to submit micro goals. Here are mine. Changed the battery on my wall clock, which has been right only twice a day for several months. Built the second of two IKEA bookshelves, which is purchased in August or September of 2016 and has been sitting in a box in my room ever since, and mount said bookshelf on the wall. I'll tell you what, man, you could probably break down an IKEA build into several micro goals, but I think those are all very good goals. I think they're too ambitious. Changing the battery in the wall clock, micro goal. Opening the box and laying out all the IKEA stuff, micro goal. Taking an evening to build it, micro goal. Break them down, baby. Break them down. All right, Abby. On the subject of male sex toys, I'm a woman, and about 2 years ago, I finally caved to the hype and bought myself a Fleshlight. I can say without a doubt that this was one of the worst purchases I've ever made. It was so lackluster and didn't feel like anything special whatsoever. I had more fun playing with a silicone toy like a trumpet than I ever did using it. I'd love to hear from others who have experienced, bought one of these and the reasons why they love and hate them. P.S. I'm a trans woman, so the fact that I bought a Fleshlight is not totally unreasonable. Abby, I'm just going to, come on. Abby has emailed into the show a bunch of times. I'm just asking you, Abs, come on, Abby. Abby was on our live show. We know Abby does a podcast called Diary of a Trans Woman. But you can't bury the lead like that, okay? Like, you got, just for clarity's sake, for everybody else, you got to lead with, I'm a trans woman, and I bought a fleshlight. Like, just, we don't, not everybody knows you, right? We got to help out. We just so we can all be on the same page. Thank you so much for writing in, though. But that's odd, though. Everybody else I've known that's bought a fleshlight has really dug it. And then Abby did send me a video of her inflating the silicone of the fleshlight and then, like, you know, playing bagpipes with it. Brian said, adding a vote for the tri-state area in addition to being able to cast a wide net from Philly, as suggested in your previous emailer, you'd also be close to the Yuengling Brewery, and if you feel like touring that, there's also a Ring of Honor event in New York City the first Saturday in March, if that was the weekend that you were looking for. Well, Brian, let me know where in PA you are, because we're going to do it now in April, not March, April. Amy from Oregon writes, I'd love to hear you explain why you think Pulp Fiction is the best movie of all time. Our Saturday routine is to fire up Netflix and play it in the background as we do random household stuff. Somehow it never gets old. Also, my micro goal equals cancel my stupid Smule karaoke app subscription that keeps charging me $5 a month. I need to plug the leaks in my canoe. Pulp Fiction is the greatest movie of all time for me because it very clearly... was the kind of vanguard for independent cinema becoming mainstream cinema in that era, that early 90s era. It ushered in, you know, Tarantino's very, very unique visual style and specifically his writing style with his super verbose kind of dialogue and specifically also his very retro nostalgia mega remix sort of ideal into the public lexicon in a way that it had not done before. And I don't think that as good as movies like Shawshank Redemption that came out in the same year are. They are good stories that are told in a visual language that had existed before. Quentin Tarantino and Pulp Fiction specifically brought to a larger audience stuff that, although had been seen, had never been seen in that way. And for me, in my armchair film criticism way, that was very, very important. And yes, I know he ripped off a million different things, and I know that Reservoir Dogs is basically that other, you know, Japanese movie, yada, 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 yada. All I'm saying is that Pulp Fiction is my favorite. I love it so, and there we go. All right. Steven Schleicher writes, as a kid, of major spoilers, by the way, as a kid, Goonies was a great movie. Fun, full of adventure, and kids putting down the man, a.k.a. grown-ups. As an adult, The Goonies is a loud, foul-mouthed, incoherent mess of a movie. Increasingly, we've watched the movie recently with my 10-year-old, and he said he was bored the entire time. I love The Goonies as a kid. Saw it as soon as it arrived in theaters. Time and distance really put things into greater perspective. Yeah, man. Dude. That's for real. I mean, like, there's stuff that you watch as a kid that just doesn't hold up. It was for that time and place. Sean writes, I've been dealing with anxiety and depression my whole life. For a while, I decided that the way I behaved, the way I would try to get out of pretty much everything that made me feel the least bit anxious, was just me tricking others. I wasn't really this shy, awkward guy who got scared of things. He could so much so that he could hardly breathe and felt like he was near next to tears constantly. I was just pretending so I wouldn't have to do stuff. I didn't even really understand what was going on with me for a while. It wasn't until my early 20s, I'm 31 now, that I actually did anything about it. And by doing something, I mean I got myself diagnosed and then used that as a crutch so I could get out of things that terrified me more. It took me a decade before I even felt comfortable in my own skin enough to try to get myself out into the world. I'm not really sure what I'm trying to say. It's hard. It's really hard. Having very little control of your own emotions, your own thoughts, it can be both terrifying and debilitating. I still avoid things. I've never been anywhere near chat realm, for example. And I won't even listen to your call-in show with Scott. That is Hotline Monday, by the way. Because it's live, and semi-unprepared people calling in and talking is, for whatever reason, very uncomfortable to me. And I still get really uncomfortable doing anything I've never done before if there's anyone around to see me do it. Anyway, if you're a little more enterprising than me and don't take the roundabout way to get to things, I recommend seeking out somebody who practices cognitive behavioral therapy. It's not for everyone. It wasn't for me. I was really lazy about it. But somebody who knows CBT can teach you things like how to breathe and how to help you feel calm. Also to help identify negative thoughts and how to diffuse them. Or you can do what I did and thrust yourself into the world, albeit in a structured environment, and overwhelm yourself with your own negativity and fears. Different strokes for different folks, Sean. Mea culpa. I don't know anything about cognitive behavioral therapy, so if it's like Scientology or something, then don't blame me. That is something that Sean said he tried and he thought was valuable, even if it wasn't for him. I think cognitive behavioral therapy is just talk therapy, right? Maybe? I don't know. I should probably do some research into these things before I read them. LOL. And finally, Paradise Bob writes, my new micro goal is to get that buffalo hamburger recipe from Jury. Also, would you try to recommend adding ranch dressing or blue cheese crumbles or neither or both? All right. So really the only secret to the buffalo burger was to just do a regular hamburger from scratch. So ground chuck, seasoning, I think like an egg you throw in there to bind it all together. And then just add just a little shot of buffalo wing sauce in the middle of it. So you basically mix it all together, and it is now a part of the spices. I actually then wound up using more buffalo wing sauce as actual dressing on top of the burger, like it was mustard or ketchup or something, because I like buffalo wing sauce that much. I'm not a huge ranch or blue cheese crumble guy. I like to dip the celery on the side of a wing thing in the ranch dressing just to kind of cool my mouth down. But I don't really like to dip the wings in the ranch dressing, and I don't like blue cheese in general. So if it's too taste for you, then that's fine. But for me, wasn't my favorite. But that's, you know, that's just one man's opinion. You know, you can go your own way. I wish I remembered the rest of the lyrics to that song. As far as what wing sauce, I mean, you can go with Frank's. Frank's is Frank's Red Hot is okay. And then otherwise, you can just go look for any kind of buffalo wing sauce. I mean, I don't really have a favorite myself. That about wraps it up for our first live show in 2 weeks. Thank you guys so much for joining me. Remember to email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. That again is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put J-U-R-Y in the subject line. Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Justin R. Young. Haven't done this in a while. If you are on Snapchat this week and you are listening to me, then just go ahead and Snapchat me with a big creepy wink. Give me a big creepy wink on Snapchat, Justin R. Young. And of course, hashtag join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. This is your old pal, Jury, telling you to please... Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.